following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you in studio as we will be chatting with the athletic director at UNK, Paul Plinsky. We'll be chatting with Jim Holton, the head coach of the Tri-City Storm after the USHL draft wrapped up yesterday. And we'll also be catching up with Matt Cain, St. Paul track coach. The Lou Platt Conference meet is tomorrow. They are hosting it. We'll get a preview of that. Also, Lou Platt Golf, GNAC Track is all tomorrow. It's that time.
It's wrapping up. The season's ended for over half the soccer teams in the area, and track and tennis and everything else is wrapping up, too. It's where'd the school year go? Didn't we just start?
Shut up.
Yeah, you're so overworked.
We are ready for summer. That's what it all comes down to. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776 is our phone number. If you would like to email the program, you can do that to the Dent Popper inbox, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. You can also tweet us at ESPN1460-1550.
I like that Twitter thing. I had a conundrum today that I'm hoping Twitter will answer for me. It's our anniversary, my wife and I's anniversary. I mean, do I have to say something publicly, or can it just be a private thing? I don't know. So I want Twitter to kind of answer that for me. I don't know.
Well, you will have the rare opportunity to do that publicly.
How? You know, asking the question on Twitter and Facebook was kind of a way of doing that, too. So happy anniversary.
You are.
I married a whole lot better than she did. Let me just say that. I married a whole lot better than she did.
I've got to keep your family off my radio station.
Good luck with that.
It's time for our Loper Link, brought to you by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today at Charter West National Bank. A variety of topics to cover today for the Lopers, including last night with the fifth annual Loper Football Backers Dinner and Scholarship Fundraiser. Nearly 600 people at the Unis Center. It continues to get bigger. Over $165,000 raised. That's about 10 scholarships for the football team. And without getting too deep into this, because we'll talk with Athletic Director Plinsky in a couple of minutes about that, but Randy, it's so far from where the funds were for this football team 5 years ago, and it's something that has to continue. It has to be above and beyond. In 2012, they had about 20 scholarships, just short of 21. And again, this isn't the University of Division I, where you get a full ride to all these 25 guys, and then you have – no, they split all this up. As one of the posters said last night, Cole Manhart, All-American, first team – he is not full ride scholarship at the University of Nebraska.
And face of the program, and should be, because he's an outstanding young man. But and that's just from 2012. I mean, the distance that they've traveled so far in a relatively short period of time since they started doing this is really kind of tremendous. And again, that's one of the things that when Dr. Polinsky was hired a year ago, that was one of the major discussions people had, was the amount of fundraising and the amount of scholarships that the university can provide.
I came up with a brilliant idea, which I
yeah, that would be a first, by the way. Let me write this down if you actually had one.
I was talking to Cole Manhart last night at the football banquet, and a couple of the assistant coaches. I said, if we're having problem raising money, you know, Cole just has to get in front of a couple people, get him in the corner, and give him a proposition.
An offer you can't refuse?
What's in your wallet, boy? So we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. Tennis season came to an end for UNK. Both made the regionals, but both were defeated in the regionals over the weekend. Good news for the golf team today. Michael Colgate is leading the regional down with 18 holes to go. If he stays in the top two, he'll go to the national championships, which will be in Allendale, Michigan, starting May 19th. No team has ever made it. The Lopers probably aren't going to make it as a team, even though they're only 8 shots out of fourth. They're in 11th, so it's not like they're in sixth. They've got a lot of teams to go by today, and they're shooting okay, but when you get to this point of the season, you really have to put up a great. It is so tough.
It's
to
such a fine line, yeah, because you can be two or three, you know, one or two strokes matters. You pass two or three teams when you do that. So it's the number of teams that you have to play better than. That's the difficult part.
The track and field teams competed in the MIAA championships this past weekend. The men, a very solid second place finish. The women, seventh. They'll have a few more meets at a variety of places. They call them last chance meets, and those will be going on this week, and then in a couple of weeks, it's off to the outdoor national championships. Also, the baseball season ended since we last did our Loper Link. Two very, very tight ball games. As Coach Day told us yesterday, you couldn't ask for more competitive baseball, but they lost 5-4 and 4-3 to Central Oklahoma. Central Oklahoma advances to the MIAA Final Four, which is in Springfield, Missouri. Softball also ended. They ended on a winning note against Fort Hays State. Kate Rui was represented on the all-conference team. So those are a few of the many UNK sports headlines.
And again, they call baseball a game of inches. Those two games that were played down in Kansas, or excuse me, in Oklahoma, are certainly indications of that, because UNK played well enough. Just a ball that's fair and needed to be foul, and a home run that, you know, if you just get underneath it a little bit more, it's a pop up. I mean, they played so well considering all the injuries that they had. It was a great way to do it. But tip your hat to Central Oklahoma, because, you know, that wasn't the UNK kept coming off the mat. They needed to do the same thing, and they were able to do it twice on their home turf. Not their turf, it was, you know, kind of a field.
But you know what? It's going to sound like I'm disagreeing with you. I'm not going to tip my hat to Central Oklahoma in this case. They should have rolled the Lopers. UNK had 9 guys. UNK probably played as good with a disseminated roster as anything I've seen in 30 years.
I absolutely agree with that. But that's a team that keeps coming up off the mat. You know, okay, in the first Rocky movie, Apollo Creed was probably pretty good, you know, because, again, the Loper baseball team was like Freddy Krueger. You know, you thought they were dead, and they just keep coming back and coming back. It's easy to fold
Coach
a tent.
Coach Damon Day is Freddy Krueger. I like it.
I've seen how he dresses, so it kind of works.
I like it. Let's turn it over to the athletic director at the University of Nebraska, Kearney, Dr. Paul Polinsky.
He's worried about us. He really is.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. It's a pretty heated debate here going on.
Well, it is winding down with your first sports year at the helm. It won't be a full year, but let's start with the football fundraiser last night. You were there. A lot of UNK administration and the coaching staff all smiles, and there was a reason to have a lot of smiles last night.
Yeah, I tell you, it was an exciting night for us. I went in hoping, and we did as a committee, go in hoping that we could generate $150,000. And when the evening ended and we started to tally everything up, we were at $165,000 when all of the QTEGA and the silent auctions were collected and put together. And then when we got back in the office this morning, we started to account for all the other things that have come in that we didn't account for. So So, you know, we had ticket sales. We had all the corporate tables that were sold. We had the raffle that took place. And so you add all those into the mix, and now we're talking probably another $20,000-$25,000 that will put us up to about $190,000. So at the end of the day, when we get through our expenses, we're easily going to clear $165,000 for athletic scholarships for football.
I know in the last year, you know, one of the discussions when the hiring process took place a year ago was about overall funding for the programs. Obviously, football is the one that got the most attention, and rightly so, because it's your most high-profile program on campus. How is the rest of the fundraising going in terms of trying to get more scholarships?
Well, when we look at the total picture, we're at $1.2 million was what we're funding our athletic program for scholarships right now. And I set a goal for next year of $1.4 million, hoping that a year after that we could get to the $1.6 million figure. And so we're making some strides as a total program. We've not only have had a great success with the Loper football backers last night, but then we had some significant dollars that have come in that have added to our endowment scholarship pool that we have open the Nebraska Foundation. And in the last 6 months, we've been able to put $3 million into an endowed account, which will allow us to accrue $120,000+ annually for perpetuity that will go into the scholarship pool that will help all of our UNK scholarship athletes. And so right there, we've already, you know, we're making that jump. And this spring, we will be making our way down over to Omaha to meet with several of our big boosters over there to try and generate some significant interest. We're hoping to come away with a day where we can say, hey, we generated, you know, a six-figure gifts through a number of different individuals, which will allow us now to take that and put it into the pot, be able to add up and make this thing work for us. Our counterparts in the MIAA, the average is about $1.6 million as a total athletic department. The high is over $2 million. And so we've got our work cut out for us, but last night was a great step. The whole year has gone extraordinarily well, and we're just hitting our stride right now.
Paul Plinsky, Athletic Director, UNK, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. What have you learned about Kearney and the fundraising process here, the pluses, minuses, maybe you could share with us in the first sports season?
Well, I've been overly impressed and really appreciative of all the people in the city that have stepped up, that either they give their time or they give their personal resources or they give some of their business resources to help support UNK and UNK Athletics, and that is greatly appreciated. This town has a great deal of pride and wants to see all the teams, all the sports, all the activities, the university as a whole. They want to see all of us do very well, and that is something that surprised me more than I really thought I was going to see here. But they also it gets to a point where, you know, we've asked a lot of people in this community, and we need to do our part to branch out to our alumni and our donors that are in the outskirts of Nebraska or even in other states. And I learned a little bit watching Northwest Missouri State after they won the national title in football. They did their little caravan part around the country, and they took the national championship trophy, and they did it, you know, to create awareness and celebrate the accomplishment, but they also did it to raise money for their athletic department. And so those are things that we need to do in order to continue to build on what the city of Kearney's done for us.
We always talk about money whenever you come in here, and the scholarships, endowments,
right,
and all that stuff. Looking back in that first year, outside of the fundraising and that sort of thing, what are some of the successes and some areas that you still feel that you need to make an improvement after 1 year?
Well, first of all, it's been a great year. And my wife and I love the city of Kearney and feel like the transition has been very smooth and just love the energy in this community and the growth that's northeast, south, and west. But, you know, when I came in, I had the goal of finishing in the top three in every sport program that we have. Well, with 17 sports, you know, that's a pretty big challenge, especially in the MIAA. And so statistically, when we look at the transition from the RMAC to the MIAA, you know, in 2012-13, we had teams that did okay, but what I want to look at is how they did from year one to year two in the MIAA. And out of the 17 sport programs that we have, we had seven teams that finished in the top three this past year. We also had every team take a step and improve their conference standing from the prior year, from year one in the league to year two in the league. And the only two programs that didn't, and I mention these two programs because they are very successful, so you have to kind of put an asterisk by this comment. But
Squires.
But our volleyball program went from first in their first year to third in their second year, and our men's golf team went from sixth in their first year to eighth in their second year. Well, you know, a couple different breaks with you know, the weather and how things went this spring, and now look at what the men's golf team is doing at the regional, and then women's volleyball has just been a tremendous program for us, and so all of our sports showed significant progress. But on top of that, we had 10 teams make NCAA championships this year, 10 out of 17, and so the progress has been significant. At the end of the day, however, the programs that people look at right off the bat are, okay, how's football doing? How's men's basketball doing? How's women's basketball doing? You know, how's baseball doing? And so we want to continue to make the stride to be a top three team in the MIAA in all of our sports.
Paul Plinsky with us here, the athletic director at UNK. You mentioned, and again, going back to kind of what Randy touched on during the hiring process with all the finances, if all the programs could survive, and you said, we are going to make all these programs survive. Is that still viable? Is that still going to happen?
Well, we've had to prioritize a little bit. You know, last night was a great example of prioritizing that. You know, we're starting with a big ticket item, and football obviously sticks out. When we were, you know, setting up our goals for that event last night, you know, we walked into it saying we have $450,000 to work with for football scholarships for 2014 season. Mm-hmm. Well, the goal last night was to raise an additional $60,000 through the scholarship gift ask that we did of all of our donors that were there, and we surpassed it by 10 grand. So we raised 70 grand through that. So, well, that put us now to a position where we're, you know, easily over $500,000. Still not where we want to be in the MIAA, but making significant strides. And so, you know, I look at that and it's like, that's a big chunk of change. I mean, that's a lot of money that we're dealing with here. And so obviously we're focusing a lot on a sport that is very visible, that a lot of people notice, that are looking at. And then we have other sport programs that are, you know, we're trying to chop away at some little things here and there. Can't do everything overnight, but we're trying to chop away at some things. And a great example is, you know, or two of them is, we're going to be renovating the locker rooms for men's and women's basketball and volleyball. You know, it's a $120,000 endeavor, but it's a big thing to those student athletes in those programs. Then you take our Under Armour agreement that we just signed. You know, that's a big thing for some programs that haven't seen Under Armour or seen nice uniforms in a couple of years now. So we're trying to take some of those steps to really help those programs, knowing that down the road they're going to get theirs when we get some of our other sport programs taken care of first.
Now Randy, last night, Mr. Plinsky mentioned to the crowd that was at the football fundraisers, he says that both UNK and Notre Dame have signed with Under Armour, but he couldn't negotiate the same deal.
Didn't quite work out the same.
Notre Dame's deal is pretty interesting. It's a $90 million deal, and a third of it is stock options, a third is cash, and a third is in-kind complimentary gifts and uniforms and apparel. And so we're light moons away from that. But at the
no
same
stock
time,
options, yeah.
We're in a great position because it's a brand that student athletes love, and it's an instant credibility for us with uniforms and how we're going to look and how we present ourselves, and we'll have respect now because of that.
And probably day one, that was one of those things you kind of look at and go, that's going to be kind of a neat thing if we can get something like that done. Probably looking day one at some of the facilities, there are some things that kind of stood out for you. A year on the job, you don't want to make a lot of changes day one, but after a year, what are some other changes that you kind of see that still need to be addressed, that are changes coming down the road?
Well, facilities stick out to me as something that we continually need to upgrade, work on, improve. We're in the arms race, unfortunately, and it's hot and furious, and so our competitors are doing it, and if we're going to be ball players, you know, we're going to need to step up to the plate and do some things. So I think people will start to see some renovations, some branding, some applications that we try to do to our facilities in the Health and Sports Center, Cope Stadium, Dryden and Memorial Fields. We got a lot of opportunity there. The collaboration with the high school has been spectacular. We have been in every meeting with them along the way to talk about the use and the accessibility of the outdoor track and field that they're going to build at the new high high school and the access to the swimming pool. And so we're continually brainstorming. And right now we're always looking at, okay, what can we do in 14-15? But we're also looking at what's the 5 and the 10 year plan to move athletics forward. So facilities stick out to me. Scholarships are another piece that we're continuing to strategize. I've spent a lot of meetings with Lucas Dart, Dusty Jura, Pete Katsiopoulos, and the chancellor's been guiding us through that process. But we need to be competitive, and if we're going to be, we've got to award scholarships. And then lastly is looking at our day-to-day operations and how we can become better at ticket operations, how we can improve our corporate sponsorship relationships, how we can market our sport programs better. And so we've been flipping over every stone that we can find that needs to be improved, and that's what it's going to take in order to be competitive.
Paul, when you're talking about Kearney High, will this just be a trade? They're using Foster Field for football, they're using it for some soccer, they may have facilities, or do you have to do it? Hey, we're writing you a check. You're writing us. We're getting a check. I mean, how does that process work?
Well, to get kind of into the details, there are some capital needs that we have because we're a participant in the NCAA that the high school doesn't sponsor. So, for example, the javelin throw, hammer, steeplechase, 400-meter hurdles, those are all events that are additional for UNK and to be a part of the NCAA. Well, we're hosting the outdoor MIAA Track and Field Championships in 2017. So we're scheduled to be at Kearney High School that first spring of track and field on that campus. And so we need to have those elements added to the track. And so there's a little capital expenditure that we have to pay. The 3-meter diving board is what we need at a pool. So obviously we have to be able to pitch in for that. But then there's an existing agreement that is in place between the university and the Kearney Public Schools with use of Cushing Swimming Pool, the indoor track and field that we have. They don't use the Health and Sports Center other than for graduation, but then Cope Stadium is a significant part of this. So we're trying to mesh the two together. Obviously, we have a 20-year agreement for the use of those facilities, and now we have the new facilities going in. So it's kind of taking the old and the new and putting them together in a little bit of a hybrid approach, I guess. But the partnership has been great, and couldn't be happier about the direction that we're going to be able to help support each other.
And how about personally the move? I mean, you're probably very comfortable at Wisconsin Whitewater. Now you got to talk your wife into, here's Kearney, Nebraska, got the kids and everything.
Which doesn't have a bowling team.
We're working on that. How is that transition as well? Because not only are you changing careers, but obviously a different place to live and call home.
Well, what's been really a blessing is that my wife's parents grew up in Gothenburg, and so their family is very familiar with this area. Elizabeth has family in North Platte, Omaha, Lincoln, all throughout the state, and so we've been real fortunate to have that connection take place. So the transition has been pretty seamless. We're also thankful that our daughters can get involved in the community activities. The YMCA has been a tremendous resource for us, and the people in this town are just really family friendly, and a lot of activity to get engaged in and involved in. So that has really surprised us. Whitewater was a town of about 12,000 people, but when the students left in the summers, the place was like a ghost town. And we had to go to Madison, Milwaukee to be able to find some entertainment and things to do. But the other thing I'll say is that I don't miss the weather one bit, Wisconsin and Minnesota. So being here, I can handle the wind, but the weather is typically 10 to 15 degrees warmer. The precipitation is a lot less. So the move has been great, and we're really happy to be here.
Just our last minute here with UNK Athletic Director Paul Plinsky. We've been talking about money, and we've been talking about winning, and we've been talking about facilities, but UNK has always prided itself on being academically strong as well, and I'm reminded of that with the tennis MIAA scholar athletes. It seems like almost, and I know wrestling was that way, and I don't have them all in front of me for the year, but it seems like UNK in a number of sports had the most scholar athletes are making the honor roll. Not everyone, but right, they were always well represented. Just touch on that part of the student athlete.
Yeah, really proud of where we're at, and I think that might be one of the major reasons why I chose to come to Division II, is that there is still the emphasis on the student athlete, and the student is first. and the athlete is second. But in the fall of 2013, our women's tennis program had a 3.6 grade point average. Our men's cross-country team was a 3.36 grade point average. Our cumulative GPA for all 450 student-athletes is right at 3.09. And which is significantly higher than the general student body population. So if you take your 3.09 and round up to 3.1, we're doing pretty well in the classroom. And the MIAA is recognizing that with annual awards that we're getting sent to us, which is pretty remarkable. This is a heavy transfer league. A lot of Division I student athletes, junior college will make their way in. But we've found our way to really be focused in on academics and emphasize it. We had a meeting last week with Verizon Wireless, and we want to get our student-athletes more and more connected when they're on the road. So we have fully connected buses so that when our teams are traveling for 2 and 3 days, they're mm-hmm. still connected back to the classroom. They can watch lectures. They can get on the Internet and interact with their professors. They can do a lot of that stuff to maintain that GPA. And so the expectations are still high to be great in the classroom as we try to strive for greatness on the competitive field.
With that, are there some programs kind of coming in? Because I know there's a lot of online classes, and I think a lot of student-athletes, especially in your sports where they do a lot of travel, like baseball and volleyball, probably have a preference for doing that. Is there really kind of a direction you guys kind of do to try to make sure that they are taking classes in such a way that, and I'm not saying getting underwater basket weaving, but rather getting classes that will get done what they want done, but they can take those classes in such a way that they can be academically successful?
Well, graduation is key for us. That's what we're trying to move everybody towards. But we've got great relationships with the four deans on our campus. And Dr. Joe Orvik, the dean of students, is a great asset. We have great academic support services at UNK. And our student-athletes can get tutoring. They can get help one-on-one. They can, move through the process and get great advisement. I think we're seeing a lot of our student-athletes go into the field of education. The University of Nebraska-Kearney was the number one school behind Lincoln in the state for putting out students that can go into the field and work in education and are getting employed in the sector of education. And so we're really proud of that. So a lot of our student-athletes are coming in wanting to be teachers, coaches, athletic trainers, sport administrators. So we're getting a wealth of those types of students on our campus. But what's great is they have a lot of interdepartmental relationships. And so our student-athletes can go and work with faculty and in the business and music and all the different areas. And so it's giving them a well-rounded experience and helping them be, equipped so that they can go out and get jobs when they leave us.
Dr. Paul Plinsky, athletic director, first year, University of Nebraska-Kearney. We asked you a whole bunch of questions. Was there anything that we missed or that the public needs to know about?
Well, let me just ask the two of you a question as you look to the upcoming academic year, 2014-15, and as I set up a goal of saying we want to be top three in the conference, where do you see us stacking up next year as far as an overall program? I mean, do you have a sense for football, men's, women's basketball, volleyball, baseball, soccer? What are your thoughts?
Well, we talked about it last night. Yeah. Football still has the hardest mountain to climb.
Yeah, that's the toughest nut to crack there.
And especially with the way the MIAA has set up the schedule. I mean, when you go on the road and play the defending national champion right off the bat. But I love just hearing some of the – they have to pan out on the field. But
right.
What the coaches are doing as far as trying to improve the talent level and still – implement local kids like they have done and what made them successful in the RMAC conference. So, just getting to 500, I think, next year is going to be – I mean, that's not what anybody wants to hear in big picture, but right. I think that would be a heck of a
– Well, there was a lot of excitement.
Basketball's coming. Baseball, yeah. Again, I already mentioned how – incredible I thought that was this year.
Well, there was a lot of excitement on signing day, which I thought was kind of a neat environment that we kind of put together. And UNK came down, and we had the Doug and Daddy show at Cunningham's, and we had kind of the celebration of the sign. That was in it. And I think the signings were good. I think the football is certainly heading in the right direction. I think every sport seems to be heading in the right direction. Again, that is the toughest mountain to climb. Basketball has really been kind of one of those premier programs, but I think that's improving on the men's side and on the women's side as well. you know, and volleyball's, hey, let's not forget how good they've been, as well as wrestling. I mean, there's been a couple of programs on campus that are really kind of the cornerstones for what success can look like in the MIAA.
Mm-hmm. Randy, don't you think, and again, Mr. Plinski, who would not, you know, not growing up in the backyard here, Nebraska football fans always compare, well, you know, the 80s, the 90s. I think we get a lot of that with the basketball programs right now, you know, back in the early and mid-90s and early 2000s, and it's hard to compare live in the past, I guess.
Well, it is. And UNK was in the RMAC when an RMAC team won the national championship, Fort Hays State, yeah. when they won it.
Metro.
And Metro won it once. But usually you only had two teams that were any good, maybe three. You know, and UNK being one of those three. But the rest of the conference now is just so much more solid, and we have the national champion in our new conference, in the MIAA. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just the depth of the league is a lot different, and I think people understand that, and they understand, but there is that thing that, like, well, we are always hosting games in the conference tournament, and we were always on that short list of teams, and you get kind of used to something and you want it back.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
well,
I think is a good thing to have.
Well, and that's why we're kicking off a slogan for next year, and we're going to promote it more and with billboard and other applications that can get out there. But the slogan is your team and it's our time. And your team meaning that this is the city of Kearney. We're here to support the city, but we're also hoping to get the support of the city as we try to embark on our third year in the MIAA. But at the same time, we're feeling like we belong now. We're in this conference. We've shown some progress. You know, we want to get to a point where we're going into every game and we're going to be competitive and people are going to have to be prepared for us. And so your team, our time is our slogan as we start the 2014-15 academic year. And I think Coach Day said it best when they finished their season down at UCO and they were disappointed. But I think they thought, you know what? This is our time. We belong in this league, and we can be competitors, and we can win conference championships and go on to NCAA tournament play. And so it's exciting for us. And as the year rounds off with, you know, golf today, and hopefully we'll get, you know, moving on here a little bit, and then we've got outdoor track and field moving. But we also have a culminating event on June 2nd, which is the Blue Gold Golf Outing. It's our 25th anniversary at each of the three courses in town here. We hope to get up to 300 golfers, and it'll be a great event for us to just be able to celebrate the accomplishments, but be able to pull in some more revenue sources to be able to help us and support the scholarship push that we're trying to do for Loper Athletics.
You can find out more information, get signed up. It's all online now. Owerri Dunes, Metal Arc Hills, Kearney Country Club, the Blue Gold Golf Outing is on Monday, June the 2nd.
That's
so
right.
We're looking forward to that. Paul, we'll let you get on out of here and continue with your day. Do you have a graduation tie for this week?
I have. Do you think I don't have a graduation tie? I think I counted. I have 70 ties in my tie rack at home.
A tie rack? What's a tie rack? Paul, enjoy your summer. We'll see you soon.
Trying to raise the bar, but I appreciate you guys and all you've done for us. It's been a great year, and I'm looking forward to another great year ahead. And so, go Lopers.
Thank you, sir.
Go Lopers. Thanks,
Thank
Paul.
You.
Appreciate it. Athletic Director Paul Plinski with us in studio. Part of our Loper Link brought to you by Russ Smith, CharterWest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, ARD, and conventional home loans, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at CharterWest National Bank. Tri-City Storm coach and general manager Jim Holton add a little track talk in the Lou Platt Conference with St. Paul's Matt Cain when we come back.
When my husband turned 30, I didn't think much of it. I know men start to lose testosterone levels after 30. I just wasn't sure what that meant. Now I do. He gained weight, became moody, depressed, made excuses all the time to not have to do anything physical. It even got to the point where he never wanted to be romantic. A friend of mine told me about ManCore from Complete Nutrition, so I picked up some for my husband. He started using ManCore a little over a month ago. He's becoming himself again. He's lost 10 pounds, got his spark back, and is in much better moods. He's back to being the guy I fell in love with. If the man in your life isn't what he used to be, it could be low testosterone levels. It happens to all men. ManCore is specifically formulated for men over 30. It helped my husband. It can help yours too. ManCore from Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you, and always here at chsagra.com.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better, just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100%, and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better, with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner, because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Here's your WeatherEye forecast powered by WeatherOlogy.com. Partly to mostly sunny skies and breezy winds today. Highs will top out near 83 degrees and a few clouds tonight. Lows falling to the 50s. I'm Phil Jensko. Right now it's 64.
Is ESPN Radio Superstation. As we get ready for the lunch hour, don't forget Cunningham's is the place to be 7 days a week. I mean, even the boss, Mike Youssef, they live there, but they're not there all the time.
They're not?
I don't expect you to be there all the time either, even though you want to be.
And there a lot, yeah.
You can eat there a lot, 2-3 times a day if you want. Enjoy the coldest draft beer in town. Of course, happy hour from 3 to 6 every day. Big-ass beers for 3.5, well drinks for only $1.50, and live entertainment every single weekend. And with the warmer weather, it's time to expand out into the courtyard. They'll have music out there. It's a variety of music. You'll get a local act. You'll get a big act that's traveling through. Rock, country, folksy, just check it out. Cunningham's is the place to be every day, especially during the summer. Cunningham's Journal, The Loft, and Courtyard. And, of course, you can always get something great to eat from a salad if that's what you want, but pizzas, burgers, you can get yourself a steak in there, and, of course, some great appetizers as well. Can't go wrong. And on Wednesdays, what are their lunch special, Randy?
It's Wing Wednesday.
8 delicious wings for only $5 every Wednesday at Cunningham's. In Kearney. Well, we have dug them out of the bunker for the USHL draft that has wrapped up. And I mean, I'm reading all the press releases that Jared Schaffrin sent me, and I'm trying to figure out how in the hell they find out where these kids are at. Every time, that's probably my favorite question. Jim Holton, coach and general manager with us. You talk about the scouts and the guys you got out there watching, but there are so many levels, so many high schools, so many other ways of playing hockey at the youth level. How in the world do you find the kids that you want? Because it seems to me like you guys could be taking one approach, obviously, and Green Bay could be taking one approach, and Lincoln's a different one. But what was your approach? How do you find these guys?
Well, it is. It's an arduous process, and obviously it, brand new for me, because I'm used to coming from in the Canadian League. You have your province or your equivalent of your state. And we would have a staff of 6 or 7, but here you've got a staff of 2 or 3 or 4 trying to cover North America, really, because when you look at our draft, there was kids from all different parts of Canada, all different parts of the United States. So you hit the nail right on the head in terms of everybody's got a different strategy. For us, we try to cover a lot of the festivals and a lot of the big tournaments where you got to see multiple viewings of kids 2 or 3 times in a weekend, and then you could follow them up with various different times in the season. The difficult task is, as a general manager, I want to make sure that my staff has actually had eyes on these players that were drafting. But when you're drafting upwards to 25 plus guys and you're covering North America, that's a tough challenge.
There's a lot of discussion right now on ESPN Radio about the NFL draft coming up. And one of the great questions is, do you draft need or do you draft best available? What is your strategy?
A bit of both. Early on, in the first couple of rounds, you can't pass up the best player, in my opinion. So our opinion in the first two rounds in particular is to get the best player. Once we started, we got in the situation where we had multiple picks in the second. Your strategy starts to change. So rather than looking at round, we're just looking at picks. So 1-2, definitely best player. Then we started looking into more needs. But that's a great debate in all sports because every staff, I think, has a different philosophy.
There are two phases, two different days of the draft. The hockey fan here in the Tri-Cities knows what's going on. The folks that just show up to watch you play hockey and root for you don't understand, probably like me, but I've got a little bit of a grasp. I understand that it's a 1998 thing and that changes, but explain what the difference is between what you did yesterday and what you did on Monday night.
Well, I think the best way to explain it is how the league has dubbed it. It's called the Futures Draft. So our first day, we drafted eight players that were born in 1998, and that is supposed to be the future of the Storm, the future of the USHL. Those are players that, in all likelihood, are not going to play here this year. They might get the opportunity at the end of the season, like we saw some of the young fellas come in this season. But by and large, that's almost like your farm system, I guess you would call it, in relating it to another sport. That's locking up your future so you can monitor them. They're allowed to come to your training camp. They can play in an emergency situation or once their season has ended.
One of the things that's interesting to me, and I think college baseball runs into the same thing, if you have a player that is really outstanding, they're probably going to leave you a little bit earlier to go and play collegiately, or maybe even, you know, again, with baseball, they might even sign a minor league contract. How do you kind of gauge that? Obviously, you want the best ones that you can get your hands on, but do you sometimes shy away from a kid because you think he's not going to stick around long enough to really do us any good?
Well, definitely it's a factors in when you're having your discussions over players, and if it comes down to player A versus player B, sometimes that is the tipping factor, knowing that he might be a two-year player or a three-year player as opposed to one. And that's a great unknown. That's the X factor, I guess, with this league, is because we're not sure when these kids are going to go in. The colleges kind of dictate that, so it's an education. A gamble. I think that's a term that's used a lot in the draft tables.
Jim Holton, head coach, general manager, Tri-City Storm, with us here in studio. So if I look, just being a general sports fan, Mason Appleton's the first kid that you take yesterday, 30 goals, 40 assists, 28 games. Jaden Schwartz, Wayne Gretzky, which one is his kid? I mean, this must be the great. I mean, this, all I can do is look at stats, but that's pretty impressive.
Well, it is impressive, and I think if we step back even further to before the draft, we had acquired a tender, which is probably a whole other discussion, but that allowed us to sign a player prior to the draft. Excuse me, and we chose Wade Allison from Omaha, and Wade is 6'1". He scored 75 goals for. But I think when we're going back to Randy's comment, what we looked at, any fan could see we were the second lowest scoring team in the entire league last year. We have to address offense. In my opinion, we were too small and too polite, so we had to address those issues. So Allison, 6'1", Appleton, 6'2", both have an offensive pedigree. So we're hoping that not only did we get best player available, but we did kind of fit the needs that we glaringly have to fill.
You inherited a team last year, and you tried to put your fingerprints on it through the course of the year. With the draft, with that, you definitely have the ability to kind of remake the team. How's the Storm going to look different next year because of this draft versus what they've seen on the, what we saw on the ice last year?
Yes, and I think what we tried to do, or I tried to do, is do a quick study of the league, and I think Indiana is the perfect example. And I'm not going to sit here and say we're going to be in the finals next year. I hope we are, but Indiana won 21 games a year ago, turned it around and won 42 this year, and are now in the finals. So case in point is exactly, you can flip it around. And I thought when we sat down as a staff at the end of the season, we had a mandate for next year was to get older, bigger, and harder to play against. So we think we've accomplished that. If you see, we took some gambles later on in this draft. And again, I keep using that word simply because we know some of them might not be here because they might go directly into college. But if they do, we think we've hit the home run. But we went for a lot of older players. And we kind of studied the Waterloo. Ironically, the two teams in the finals this year, Waterloo and Indiana, both went really old in last year's draft, and it paid off for them.
I'll change topics really quick here. Indiana's going to fold. Shocking, I believe, but just your thoughts. You got two expansion teams or two new teams coming into the league this upcoming year, but you lose Indiana. And I mentioned on the show when they said, well, they're looking for new ice. well, they don't do the draft. The kids can go where. That's it. This team's done. There's no way they can survive this, is there?
No, they're going. Excuse me. The league is terming it going black for a year or two, suspending operations. But there's going to be a dispersal draft 5 days after Indiana season's over. Their list gets dispersed, and they it all revolves around an arena or lack thereof in Indiana. So until that issue is resolved, that franchise will be done.
How could they not move somewhere, pick up a move? I mean, was there just no interest there? Or maybe just say, hey, we're going to take Indiana's roster and give it to, is it Madison? Remind me of the two new teams.
Madison and Bloomington.
Yeah, that's not a possibility, you know.
I imagine we're probably left out in the cold here from a lot of the discussions, but I would think that Madison was granted last summer, so we knew. But Bloomington come about very, very quickly, and my understanding, without revealing a lot of state secrets because I don't know them, but I think the Bloomington ownership group was sniffing around purchasing Indiana, but it just didn't work out. I know there was a couple groups looking to buy them, which would have made sense. But instead, I think the league didn't want to lose the Bloomington ownership group because it offers a lot of quality and a lot of good things to our league. But it's a very unique situation and unfortunate for our league, I think, from a PR standpoint, that perhaps our champion might go dark. Like that, I don't think anybody needs that.
Well, the storm came originally after the Vulcans moved to town after they won the league, if memory serves. But they went dark. I mean, you know, the storm moved in versus that. With the dispersal draft, I mean, how are you guys positioned for that? Is it the same draft order? How does that work?
Yeah, exact same draft order that we just had, reverse order of the standings. So that leaves us picking number three. The great unknown, I guess, in all of this is because they're in the finals, we're not allowed to approach anybody on that team. We can't talk to advisors, can't talk to family, can't talk directly to the players, out of respect to the fact that they're still playing. But what we're hearing now is, again, everything's coming full circle in our conversation, but that a number of players that the Indiana, if they were back in existence, figured they were going to have back, now the schools are going to take them in early because the kids obviously don't want this upheaval. It's like getting traded in the summer, and all of a sudden they're set up in Indiana, and they were recruited there, they were living there. So now we have to try to figure out who's going to be there on the draft board. Basically, we have to figure out off the existing roster who's going to be back, and then same thing off their affiliate list, because the league is mandated we have to keep drafting until their entire organization has found a home.
Jim Holton, wow, general manager and head coach, Tri-City Storm, talking about the draft that has wrapped up some changes in the league. Also, and I don't know how much you can comment on this from knowledge, but Lincoln hired a new coach this week, which was psychotic timing. Hey, the draft's tonight. You're the new coach. You know anything about him, and did you notice anything in their draft strategy? Did you pay any attention at all?
I haven't had a chance to really look to, and analyze. That'll be a homework job for later today to kind of analyze everybody's draft. But I do know, I don't know Chris Hertzberg. I know his dad, Craig, quite well. I coached against Craig in the Ontario Hockey League. And obviously, Craig had one heck of a hockey career. But if Chris is anything close to the gentleman and competitor that his dad is, he'll be a great add to our league. I understand he's a former player, which is always nice, too. And he's paid his dues as an assistant coach. And I think it's always nice to see guys that have come up the ranks and paid the dues, traveled around a few different spots being an assistant coach. It's nice to see them get rewarded.
You have another draft coming up with the dispersal draft for the ICE, but kind of the time frame. Where do you kind of go from here? I mean, because it's going to be a while before you open camp. What do you do in the off season?
Well, right now it's time to relax a little bit from a management standpoint and a scouting standpoint. There was a lot of man hours and legwork that went into the draft. You spent a lot of time on the phone chasing down some of these leads and talking to different advisors, scouts, etc. But our next big step is the training camp in Las Vegas, which is mid-June, which seems, in one hand, a long ways away, but in the other hand, very close by. But, so I think when I look at the end of the day, and it's ironic, pressure is sometimes a good thing. A number of our players reached out to me last night expressing, I think it was kind of optimism, yet a little bit of nervousness regarding how many players we picked. And that's a good thing, I guess, selfishly. We're looking for a hyper-competitive training camp in Las Vegas. We're going to have some brutal roster decisions, quite frankly, because there's not enough space for all the players we have. So that's good. When you only win 22 games, you're darn well better have a competitive camp and make sure that the page is being turned properly.
And one of the things that we've joked about forever, when you're talking football, you're talking quarterbacks, you're talking point guards, and basketball or big man, we haven't even mentioned the word goalie. You didn't really get after it. It's not like you're going to bring in three guys, just your situation at that spot.
Well, we're fortunate in the fact that we have Hayden Levine coming back. Hayden took a big step forward this year, in particular down the stretch when Johansson went down with mono. I thought it was a big step forward in his development. He's back, and then we took literally a big guy, 6 foot six, probably the biggest guy we took in the draft.
Wow, that's a big goalie.
Out of another Canadian, Alec Dillon, who played up in the British Columbia Hockey League. He's highly, highly touted for the National Hockey League draft. Same age as Hayden, a 96 birth date, so we think that gives us a terrific tandem. It's probably 90% certain, I think, that Alec will be here. We took another goalie later in the draft just to safeguard, because you can never have enough of those different folks who wear those pads.
And, Randy, now we get to the bulk of this, because the last time, of course, we wanted to make sure that we got Jared and Jim's Stanley Cup brackets filled out.
And you have to mention that my team That's went okay. down in the first round.
Well,
so this
my
is
champion is out, too, but I went 7-1 in the first round, which makes me the leader over all the pros. All
for,
three of
for,
you.
For now.
What,
for now.
Yeah, for now. For now. Jared still has a Boston is in, but nice job in the West there with St. Louis and San Jose. So you be done there.
We all have our crosses to bear, Jared.
And Boston down 2-1, so that's cool. Coach has the Kings, which is a very good selection right now. And he's got Philadelphia. He had them going into the conference finals, so they're out. And then both me and you had Colorado out, and we have three of our four Final Four still in. So I don't know how. I guess if you throw enough darts, you're going to be right sometime.
Well, I think it's just further proof that a little knowledge is a dangerous thing.
and I had so very little that it wasn't.
That's why I'm leading.
You know what? I still don't feel that bad about the Avs pick, because if they would have survived that, they would have got seasoned. They'd been a lot better off. And they almost scored right before they gave up that goal in overtime.
Yeah,
I'm still crying.
And Jared, he's still resting on the laurels of Union. Remember our last time in here,
he doesn't have to be right again. He just, you know, he's silent today over there. Do we know when the schedule's coming out, guys, for next year? Is that still a long ways out?
I'll let Jared answer that one.
The schedule's a long ways away. We haven't even finished the Clark Cup Finals yet. I think the schedule, the league would hope that it would be out at some point in July, I think. But, yeah, it's kind of a ways off at this point.
And from a PR thing, the kids get some time off, but are there some other things the Storm will be doing in the off season here to stay out in the forefront, or are we that far along yet?
Pretty tough right now. Our high school guys are about to finish up school, obviously, so there's a few of them in town that have been around, but once they leave, we got not much manpower. So, we're going to be preparing for camp in Las Vegas, I think. We're trying to make that bigger and better each year. And with all these kids that we draft, it's kind of a process to make sure everyone gets to Vegas. Everyone, these are all underage kids in Las Vegas. So, that, you know, we have to make sure as a staff that we're on top of them as far as that goes. And I think it's great to have the camp in Vegas, but there's also a whole separate set of challenges that comes with that. So that's kind of what our focus is here the next couple weeks.
Well, guys, we'll let you get to enjoying a few days off here. Appreciate coming in and chatting with us. Got to be excited. I think you guys are excited about where you're at heading into next year from a roster standpoint.
Yeah, very excited. I think optimism reigns supreme in the off season, but we think we've addressed a number of needs and really excited to get back at it.
And if Boston and the Kings both get beat, then I win the pool. So that's all there is to it. That's it for the Doug and Daddy Show chat today with Jim Holton and Jared Schaffer. We're going to talk with Andy from Midway here in just a moment. Then we've got some track to talk about. Lou Platte is tomorrow. A lot of the conference track golf is coming up, plus district soccer girls for Kearney High are home tonight against North Platte playing for a district championship. Same way with Grand Island boys. It's Kearney girls versus North Platte, Grand Island boys against Papio South, both playing on their home fields. And that is coming up as far as district soccer. The rest of the Bees will all finish up tomorrow. Well, we've sprung into the month of May, and they have moved some vehicles and are looking to do so throughout the month and into the summer, getting you ready for your family vacations or the kids that are going off to college. And Andy from the Midway Auto Dealership with us in studio. You've been busy, bro. What's up?
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind. It's been fantastic, though. I think we finally have moved on from the 70-degree winds and the 40-degree temperatures, and I'll tell you what, we are all welcoming in May. And, you know, this month at Midway Chrysler, it is the 100th anniversary for Dodge. So there is some big stuff going on right now on 2014 Chargers and Challengers. There's actually $1,000 of extra RT bonus cash. What that is, if it's got the 5.7 liter Hemi, there's an extra $1,000 off on that right now. And we got that reflected in our hassle-free pricing. If you drive by the dealerships, you're going to kind of see what we did down at that Chrysler store. We have taken all the cool, fun stuff, moved that right up by the road. So you've got Chargers, Challengers, 300s. We've got four pre-owned Jeep Wranglers sitting up front, another four brand new Jeep Wranglers sitting up front too. We are really trying to go ahead and get everybody's attention because we know it's spring. And when you think of spring, there's a lot of cool stuff going on right now. I mean, I don't care who you are, if you don't enjoy the game of baseball, you still need to get out to the park and just enjoy the atmosphere of that. You know, I think of baseball as being synonymous with springtime. You know, graduations, there's just a lot of excitement in the air. You know, it's kind of like, hey, the winter stuff is all done.
Finally.
Let's move forward with life. And you know what? We've got some great deals going on down at the Chrysler store right now. $18,000 for a brand new 2014 Dodge Avenger. There is just absolutely phenomenal smoking deals. I know, Doug, you said you seen that Jeep Cherokee that was on the showroom floor.
Sweet.
And it is. You know, and the cool part is about that is Jeep actually came out and they said, you know what, we're going to be conscious a little bit. Jeep has always taken the stance that, you know what, we're a niche vehicle. We do what we do. We're not 100% focused on fuel economy. Jeep is making a crossover midsize SUV that's getting over 30 miles to the gallon. And it is absolutely awesome. But we've got a lot of great things. Trucks. I'm going to tell you everybody this right now. Over 75 new trucks in stock and in transit right now down at Midway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram. We've got smoking deals going on. And here's the big thing. All you guys driving around out in your trucks right now saying, well, my truck's pretty nice. I don't need a new truck. Well, here's the deal. I know you don't. I need your truck. I need used trucks right now more than ever. We only have about 10 pre-owned trucks on the lot right now. So what's that mean for you? I'm going to go ahead and blow mine out just so I can go ahead and get your good used quality trade. So a lot of great things going on. Chad Randles, Nick Mortensen, John Rickard, Dave Clark and the gang, everybody down there. We are rocking and rolling. May's going to be a big month. We're getting off to a bang. Just get on down there if you haven't been there in a while. And we'd love to go ahead and show you what we can do.
Yeah, you don't have to run it into the ground. Keep it keep it fairly new. And they'll take care of you at the Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney. ThinkMidway.com. Andy, hey, we'll chat again tomorrow. We're back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
The annual John McDonald Memorial four-person golf scramble is May 17th and 18th at the Kearney Country Club. Your $125 entry fee includes golf, cart, prizes, and steak dinner. You can include a practice round on Friday with a shootout that evening at 6 o'clock. The shotgun starts are Saturday at 8 a.m. and 1 p.m. with everybody going off Sunday at 10. Sign up today by calling the Kearney Country Club at 237-2553 or stopping by the pro shop. The John McDonald Memorial four-person scramble May 17th and 18th at the Kearney Country Club. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to be along with you. Take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you if the Floyd Mayweather Marcos Madonna fight will ever, or will the Manny Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather fight will ever happen. 52% no, 48% said yes. You can vote anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com. There are currently five vacancies for NBA coaching jobs.
which is the most desirable? That's easy. Golden State.
Yeah, yeah.
That's easy. It's Lakers. Well, I mean, maybe Lakers. Golden State, Lakers, Minnesota,
there's more talent.
Utah,
there's more talent north.
Detroit. Yeah.
A lot more talent north. And they've got them all, and they were talking about it on ESPN earlier today. They've got them under contract for 3-4 years. You know what your roster is, and you know it's going to be pretty good for 3-4 years. Yeah, that's a pretty good job.
I don't think the Lakers will be as bad as the Knicks have been lately, but I think they're going to be down. I mean, Kobe, even if Kobe is good, they're not an NBA championship team, and if they overdo just trying to get one more championship with Kobe, then they really sell out for the long term. But I'd say Golden State. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Yeah, and there's more building blocks there. I think Kobe, you know, that's a Hall of Fame player. That's Mount Rushmore kind of player in the NBA, but his best days are behind him, and that window, if it hasn't already closed, is the window's on the way down.
Tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, we'll talk with Nebraska Danger football coach Mike Davis. They're 7-2 on the season heading out to Wyoming. We'll talk with Silver Lake football coach Dwayne Art. They are hosting the six-man All-Star game, Nebraska versus Wyoming. The roster out. We'll talk about that tomorrow as well. And we will be in St. Paul for the Doug and Daddy Show tomorrow because we'll be at the Lou Platt Conference track meet. And Matt Cain joins us here to talk about the meet. Doug Duda and Randy Bushcutter with you on this Wednesday. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, it looks like, you know, it's going to be really warm today, but it looks like we got some great track weather tomorrow. We're going to have some pretty good talented kids as well. But before we break up the conference, let's talk a little bit about the Wildcats. I know numbers may not be incredibly up right now, but where are the Wildcats shining this track season?
Yeah, we've had a really good year, particularly on the girls' side, actually. We won our first invitational that in about 7 years. We won the Gibbon invite with about 10 teams, and that was really exciting for us. And we don't do it necessarily with a ton of firsts and seconds, but we score in a lot of areas, and it was really good to see our girls come out and compete really well. And yeah, the boys, it's been kind of a rebuilding season pretty much throughout the sports here at St. Paul, and track is no exception. We have a couple pretty good guys in the sprints and in the jumps, but it's been a difficult year for the boys team.
Coach, looking at the girls meet tomorrow, are there some events that you kind of look at and say, I can't wait to see that event tomorrow? Is there something that really kind of stands out to you?
Yeah, I think one of them, maybe like the girls 4x1 relays. Really, in our conference, the relays are always good because we have the conference is so deep, I think. I think the 4x1 relay last year, I think we had 5 teams that made it to state. So I think that's always a fun one to watch. I think if you want to see a lot of good talent, the girls or girls distance team, that might really be the deciding factor, I think, tomorrow. The 400, maybe the 300 hurdles even, on up to the 2 mile in both individual events and relays, or really, really shines there. So you'll see some great performances out of them. And then I think for also on the girls' side, you can't look past Kearney Catholic and Paige Herbert. She could possibly win 4 events tomorrow in the jumps and the sprints. So, yeah, there are definitely some athletes on the girls' side to watch.
Matt Cain with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Matt, is it going to be a Kearney Catholic Ord race? Do you figure in there? Is there somebody else that could be challenging?
Yeah, I think when you kind of factor everything out, it looks like Ord on the girls' side has a pretty big advantage just because of the depth, like I said, in those distance races. And then Kearney Catholic, you know, they don't just have Paige Herbert. They're pretty strong in some other areas and hurdles and in some of the other field events as well, and they don't have a bad distance team either. But I think St. Paul, we're sitting about third. I think if you kind of factor out the preview, but you know, Wood River's right in there, Ravenna's right in there, Adams Central's right in there, Centura can have a good day and be right in there. There really are really particularly fighting for third on the girls' side. There's a lot of, it could go a lot of different ways, I think.
Matt, I kind of asked you this question on the girls' side. I guess I'll ask it on the boys' side as well. Is there an athlete or an event that you're really looking forward to tomorrow on the boys' side?
Yeah, I think on the boys' side, Andrew Fields from Ord is probably worth the price of admission alone. With his, he's a distance runner for them, and he, returning state medalist in some of the events last year at state. As far as I think he placed second or third in some things, but he's broken our conference record a couple times this year in the 2 mile, and if he runs that tomorrow, we'll see a conference record that stood for quite a few years fall. So looking forward to seeing Andrew Fields run in the distance races. If he can do anything to outscore the Kearney Catholic distance kids and the boys, because they've just got a lot of depth in that 800, the mile, the 2 mile, they can score a lot of points there. So that's always good to see if who can kind of come out of the distance races, I think. Also on the boys' side, I think the Ord has some relays that should do pretty well, and Kearney Catholic has some relays as well.
Team race on the boys' side, how do you handicap that one, Matt?
I think Kearney Catholic, again, with their depth, has the advantage. And then maybe second, I think Adams Central might sneak in there for the second spot, and Ord, of course, is always right there as well. Adams Central, we haven't talked about them very much, but they score points, I think, in a lot of areas that maybe the rest of the schools, they're more likely to score their points. They don't. I think they're pretty high up in some of the events, like the hurdles and the jumps, that really they do quite a bit better. So they've got some pretty solid points that they're going to get in there, I think, tomorrow. So Adams Central is always a contender when it comes down to conference tournament time as well.
Yeah, it looks like just looking at some of the state charts, area charts, you hit on it. The distances and the relays seem to be the strongest for the conference, and not a whole lot of names there necessarily in the sprints or maybe even some of the field of events, which it has been, especially on the girls' side here the last couple of years. But as you said, maybe outside of Paige Herbert, it's not quite as deep in some of those sprint and jumping and field events.
Right, you're exactly right on that. I think you hit it exactly right there. And even on the boys' side last year, there were some state medalists in the jumps and sprints come out of our conference, and a lot of them were seniors. Yep, Kearney Catholic, we can't forget, they're the girls' defending state champion, but a lot of their points graduated in the name of Kaylin Brannigan and Michaela Mestel and Bailey Sokolowski. So they themselves are in a rebuilding year. So yeah, it's kind of shifted to the distance, the middle and long distance races. I think is where most of the action for the team trophies are going to come from tomorrow.
And Matt, we're also going to get a chance to see you guys perform at districts while I've got you on the horn here. Not a whole lot will change between now and then. Just talk about your district.
Yeah, we're in the C8 district over at Loup City, hosted by Arcadia Loup City, and it's a particularly strong district this year, I think, on the girls' side. Partially, like we said, because of just the depth of some of the distance races. Nebraska Christian competes in a D conference most of the year, but they're C in track, and they have some really good athletes in both the boys and girls' side, particularly, again, in the distance, but they've also got some sprints. So you throw them into the mix. Grand Island Central Catholic has some very outstanding individuals. Ord is in it, and they're just deep from top to bottom in almost every event. So it's going to be really difficult. Anybody that comes out of our C8 district this year is going to have earned their spot, that's for sure.
Yeah, hands up, one of the kids that has won multiple gold medals, yeah, not only at state but everywhere else, and then Fields is in there, so should be very good, and we can't wait to get going tomorrow. And Matt, a reminder for the fans, everything gets going tomorrow, field, track events, so just remind the folks of that.
Yeah, here at St. Paul tomorrow at 10 a.m. with the field event. And we go for about 3 hours, and we'll start the running events at 1. We try to get all the field events taken care of so the athletes have the best opportunity to do their best in the field events before coming over to the track. So running events at 1 p.m., field events at 10 a.m. here at St. Paul.
All right, Matt, hey, we look forward to coming over tomorrow, and a great day for the Lou Platt. Thanks for giving us some time. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thanks, Matt.
He is the head coach at St. Paul, not only in volleyball where he has made his name, but taking care of the tracksters as well, Matt Cain. And our updates all afternoon and into the early evening, taking you through the final event tomorrow.
Yeah, and like you said, it's all wrapping up. You got the conferences, districts next week, and it's going to be over before you know it.
Got a couple more sports notes here. The all-conference softball team out. Nebraska, well-represented. Rhonda Revelle named the Coach of the Year, which I don't think is a surprise there, as Nebraska tied for the Big Ten Championship. On the first team, the Edwards sisters, Taylor and Tatum, along with Haley Decker. Both the Edwards are also on the all-defensive team. Second team, MJ Knighton, Emily Lockman, Alicia Armstrong. The Sportsmanship Award goes to Maddie Fowler. The men's golf all-conference team has been released. Just 12 guys on the top two, and Nebraska not having any of those, but Josh Reinertsen of Gibbon receives the Sportsmanship Award. That is handed out in every sport. Also, another Kearney youngster, Sean Roderhorst, has been named the GPAC men's all-conference team. He was a cumulative score of 319 in four rounds. They do it a little different. They have four separate days of playing golf, so congratulations to Roderhorst, a Kearney Catholic graduate. We still have one. Go ahead.
And you mentioned some sportsmanship. I got to point out a really cool moment of sportsmanship I saw the other night. The Grand Island Central Catholic, Kearney Catholic soccer game at districts over at Hastings College. And a young man by the name of Eddie Carolio, pretty good soccer player, scored the first goal for the Islanders. They called a foul in the box that would have benefited Caroglio with a penalty kick, and you score about 85% of those. I thought it was a bad call. So did Eddie, because he went over and told the official, said, no, I wasn't touched in the box. And you can see him. He's an Italian exchange student, so he speaks with his hands. So you can't tell exactly what he was saying. He said, I wasn't touched in the box. I don't deserve the penalty kick. And the official changed the call before. And this is like 5 seconds after the whistle blew, before anything really kind of happened. And I thought that was just a wonderful moment of sportsmanship. And the Crusader players, he wasn't a man on an island where everybody looked at him and go, Eddie, what are you doing? You know, the rest of the team came over there and literally patted him on the back and said, that's the way to do it. And I thought that was a really cool moment of sportsmanship. You love to see moments like that.
Yeah, no, great. Thanks for bringing that up. Not enough of those are brought up. Every time you look in the manual, it says, well, this school had somebody ejected. It never says, well, this person stepped up. And
yeah, and Eddie certainly stepped up, and the rest of his team supported him. And it was one of those immediate things. It was one of those things, if you weren't looking, you wouldn't even have noticed it, because being a good sportsman, apparently for the Crusaders, was something they used to kind of take for granted.
We're going to take a break and wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
In this risky market, does your farm have the protection it needs? Farmers Mutual Hail Insurance Company is committed to providing the American farmer with complete farm insurance solutions for every operation. Their wide selection of crop, property, auto, and liability products will help manage risk and keep you protected. Krull Agency in Kennesaw, Minden, Roseland, and Hastings can help you determine the products that best fit your needs. Call Krull Agency for complete risk management coverage, customized solutions, and superior service. Farmers Mutual Hail and Krull Agency are equal opportunity providers.
Assisted living. Is it about help with the daily needs of living or about getting more out of life? Is it about the services offered or the spirit in which help is given? At Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village, the difference is in a philosophy that everyone deserves to feel loved and valued. In fact, it's a lot more than assisted living. It's a little help from your friends. For more information on assisted living, give us a call at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods. Save! Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Here's your WeatherEye forecast powered by WeatherAlgae.com. Partly to mostly sunny skies and breezy winds today. Highs will top out near 83 degrees and a few clouds tonight. Lows falling to the 50s. I'm Phil Jensko. Right now it's 64.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hail Varsity coming up again this afternoon. Had a couple of really great shows with some cool guests. So join Chris and Dan this afternoon, 4 to 6 here on ESPN.
Great to hear from Doc Sadler yesterday. I wish him the best of luck as well.
Yeah, good connection that Schmidt had with him well before the Hail Varsity show ever began. So good to have that connection. GPAC All-Sports Trophy goes to Morningside, 159.5, but then only 5 points between second and fifth. Doan was in there, followed by Northwestern, Concordia, and Hastings. Hastings with some volleyball players. Coach Matt Buttermore signed yesterday. Katie Plocky were announced yesterday from Northwest. Also, Ashton Reedy from Grand Island Senior High. Jamie Isaacson Holdridge. Morgan Heiss, who went to Wood River but has been at Central Community College in Columbus.
Yeah, and, with district soccer wrapping up, York, nice. They really improved through the course of things on the boys' side. And I know Grand Island Northwest had been beset with some injuries and stuff. But, wow, they've made a lot of improvements to be in the district final against Hastings. That'll be a tough nut to crack, too.
Yeah, Kearney girls tonight, North Platte at Kearney, Baldwin Park, 6 o'clock. Grand Island boys host Papillion-La Vista South, 7 o'clock at Memorial Field for the district finals. Then tomorrow, all of the B finals on the boys' side. It'll be Lexington at Holdridge, and Hastings will take on York at Hastings College for the girls tomorrow. The first game at Hastings College is Hastings and York at 5, and then Holdridge and Garing will play at Holdridge. So doubleheaders at Hastings College and Holdridge tomorrow. Kearney tennis swept Scottsbluff and North Platte, and Grand Island lost to Lincoln East in a battle of top 10 teams, 3-1 in the regular season finale.
And a lot of people at arm's length from high school soccer may not realize that in Class B, you win your district. You're not done yet. You got to win that kind of sub-state that they've got going on.
Yeah, so sub-state will be Saturday, which could be very, very interesting. Again, tomorrow, Dwayne Art Silver Lake coaching the Nebraska-Wyoming six-man all-star game, which will be held on June 28th this summer. He's got some of his players that we'll be talking about. We'll talk about that matchup. We'll also be talking with Mike Davis, head coach of the Nebraska Danger. Also later this week, our baseball preview with Michigan State. We'll be at the Lou Platt Conference track meet in St. Paul tomorrow. Want to thank our great guest today, Dr. Paul Plinski, athletic director at UNK, Jim Holton, head coach, general manager, along with Jared Schaffer of the Tri-City Storm, and Matt Kane, the head track coach at St. Paul. Time to get out of here.
Yeah, it's Wing Wednesday, baby. Let's go.
Randy, have a good one.
Yeah, you too, Doug. Thanks.
This is Doug Duda saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.